The fight at Finnsburg, or the Battle of Finnsburg, is also known as the Finnsburg Fragment because the 48 lines of verse begin and end in mid-sentence and were obviously part of a longer work. Moreover, the incomplete story in the fragment appears to be a version of the heroic tale told by Hrothgar's court poet in celebration of Beowulf's victory over Grendel at lines 1063 and 1168 of Beowulf, and they are known as the Finnsburg episode. The fragment was printed by George Hicks in 1705, but the manuscript leaf containing the text is now lost. The Battle of Finnsburg was a conflict in the Germanic heroic age between the Frisians, with a possible Jutish contingent, and a primarily Danish party, described only in later Anglo-Saxon poetry. If the conflict had an historical basis, it most likely occurred around 450 AD. In the story, the young Prince Nuff, described as a Hossing, half-Dane and Skilding, was staying as an invited guest of the Frisian king, Finn. For reasons unknown, a battle broke out between the two parties, probably started by the Frisian side, and Hnef was killed. Hnef's retainer Hengist took command, and the sides engaged in a peace treaty. But Hengist and the Danes later avenged Hnef's death and slaughtered the Frisians. The primary descriptive resources of the events are the Finnsburg fragment and an elusive section of Beowulf, since the battle is well represented amongst such a small corpus of Anglo-Saxon heroic poetry. It was probably significant and once widely known due to the fragmentary and elusive condition of the sources. However, the story is difficult to reconstruct. The fight at Finnsburg. Or are the gables burning on this hall? Nuff answered him, the young and warlike king. No eastern dawn is this, no dragon flying, nor are the gables burning on this hall. But now starts war. The carrion birds shall sing, the grey-cloaked wolf shall howl, the spear resound, shield answer shaft. Now shines the wandering moon behind the clouds. Now rise up, deeds of woe, which will bring suffering upon this people. But wake yourselves, my warriors, now, and take your shields, and set your minds on gallant deeds. Fight at the front and be of noble heart. Then many a treasure-laden thane rose and put his sword on. Two brave champions, Ea and Siegfirth, went to the door and drew their swords, while at the other door Orlaf and Guthlaf stood, and in their track Hengist himself advanced. Still Gthair urged Gerulf not to risk in the first rush upon the doors his arms and noble life. Now war-hard warriors would deprive him of it, but he asked loudly and without concealment the worthy hero who there held the doors. Siegfirth is my name, a Segan prince, he answered, a well-known adventurer. I have seen many fierce and grievous battles, and fate already has laid down for you one of two outcomes of our meeting here. Then was the sound of slaughter in the hall, curved shields in bold men's hands and helmets hard. Burst, and the hall floor thundered and resounded till the battle of Gerulf died. The son of Guthlaf perished first of all that troop. And round him many noble heroes fell, the corpses of the brave, the raven circled, swarthy and sallow. Swords flashed constantly, as if all Finnsborough were set on fire. I've never heard of 60 warriors behaving better in a mortal fight, or for sweet mead a finer recompense than the young warriors repaid to Hnaf. For 5 full days the comrades fought. A wounded warrior then moved away, said that his corslet had been broken through, his armour useless and his helmet pierced. The people's leader asked him straight away how well the warriors endured their wounds. And here ends the fragment that was found. The Finnsburg episode from Beowulf. There were both song and music heard in turn before the battle leader of the Danes. The harp was plucked and many a tale was told. Then Hrothgar's minstrel, to delight the hall, declaimed among the mead benches the tale of Finn's retainers. When disaster struck, and Hnaf the Shielding, hero of the Half-Danes, was cut down on the Frisian field of slaughter, Hildeburg had no need at all to praise the good faith of the Jutes. Guiltless she was, deprived of dear ones in the weapon play, of son and brother. They were doomed to fall wounded by spears. That was a grieving lady, whose daughter mourned, and not without good cause, when morning came, and she, under the sky, could see the slaughtered corpses of the kinsmen, who were, till then, her greatest joys on earth. Battle took all Finn's thanes except a few, so that he could not in that mean meeting place pursue the fight with Hengist to an end, nor crush the remnant of the prince's men. Instead, they offered terms to give them all another hall and throne, which they would share as equals with the Jutish warriors. And Finn, Folkwalder's son, at treasure givings, would daily honour Hengist's troop of Danes with just as many rings and golden treasures as in the beer hall he would give to cheer. They drew up on each side a firm peace treaty. Finn swore oaths to Hengist without reserve that he would treat with honour the remnants of his troop according to the judgment of his council, and that no man should break the truce by word or deed, nor ever mention maliciously that leaderless they now were subject to their prince's slayer, since need compelled them, and if any Frisian by hostile speech should call to mind the feud, the sword's sharp edge should be the arbiter. A pyre was raised up high and funeral gold brought from the hoard. The best of warriors, the shielding prince, was ready for the fire. There at the pyre were clearly to be seen numerous blood-stained mail coats, likewise helmets with gilt and iron-hard images of boars, and many noble men destroyed by wounds. No few died in that slaughter. Hildeburh commanded her own son to be committed at Hnaef's pyre to the flames. The princess led the mourning, sang laments, smoke from the slaughtered rose into the air, that greatest funeral pyre reached to the clouds, and roared beside the mound. Their heads dissolved, the scars burst open, and blood spurted forth from body wounds. Fire, greediest of spirits, consumed all parts of those that lost their lives in battle there from either nation. Thus, their glory in this world was brought to nothing. Finn's warriors then set off, bereft of friends, to Frisia, to their homes, and the chief city, but Hengist still unwillingly remained. With Finn throughout the whole long blood-stained winter, thought of his country, but he could not venture to steer his curved, proud ship upon the sea. The waters surged with storms, strove with the wind, and winter locked the waves in icy bonds, until another year arrived on earth, as now it does when gloriously bright weathers, as ever, keep their proper season. Winter was over, fair the face of earth. Adventurers then set sail, guests from the dwellings, but Hengist thought much more about revenge. The sailing home, if he could bring about a hostile meeting, and he kept in mind the Jutish warriors, therefore he did not decline his duty when the son of Hunlef placed in his lap the sword called Battle Light, best of all swords. Its edges were well known among the Jutes. So cruel death by sword, brave-hearted Finn at his own home, after Guthlef and Osleth came by sea and spoke with grief about the fierce attack, him for their woe. They could no longer contain the seething spirit in their breasts. Then was the hall stained red with blood of foes, and Finn was slain, the king among his troop, and also Hildeburh, the queen, was seized. The shielding warriors carried to their ships all the rich trappings and the precious gems that they could find at King Finn's dwelling place. They bore his noble wife away to Denmark on a sea journey, took her to her people. The lay was sung, the minstrel's tale was ended. Old English heroic poetry celebrates ancient and contemporary warriors, but it also celebrates acts of self-sacrifice and the stories of brave women, and combines pagan and Christian values. The literature of the Anglo-Saxons, 450 to 1100, is abundant in heroic or epic poetry, which recount the deeds of heroic figures who overcome significant challenges in the pursuit of goals that were deemed virtuous by the standards of the day. Beowulf, the longest surviving Old English poem, is a good example of this in its own right, but it also shows signs of the rich tradition of heroic poetry that flourished after the settlement of Germanic peoples in Britain. From the 5th century onwards, warriors riding back from Grendel's lair, following the bloody track left by the monster after losing his arm, compare Beowulf with the hero Sigmund, a dragon slayer known to us from other works of Germanic and Old Norse literature, such as the Volsunga saga from Iceland. Beowulf and a few other surviving works circulated first as oral poetry and later in manuscripts. Destroyed or discarded, a now lost manuscript known as the Finnsburg Fragment recounts an episode also found in Beowulf, which a marriage contrived to end in a blood feud results in a bloody battle where neither side gains the upper hand. Ulldeir, a poem surviving in just two fragments, clearly belongs to the same secular heroic tradition, set during the reign of Attila the Hun, 434-53, and briefly relating parts of the legend of Walter of Aquitaine. It recalls death in battle, contains martial boasts, and celebrates the gain and loss of fame and material wealth and the weapons of war. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Wanderer, the Anglo-Saxon Heathen podcast. If you like this episode, please tune in next time.